Well, I hope you guys missed me last week. That's the right answer, you know. You guys are so smart. Oh, I missed you too, but I'll tell you what, that weather was so nice at the beach. Oh, it's just so nice. You just hate to come back to these three digits back here. But I'm always ready to come home. I drove up into my garage and said, home, sweet home. I love being in my home. Amen. Well, we have a new member here today. You know, if we don't grow them as adults, we just grow them ourselves and bring them up. So would you stand, Ryan and Karina, and show us little Rowan. This is his first time. Bring him up here, Ryan. Karina, I'm so glad that you just did fine and you're here today. Now, let's not get too close to the baby. We don't have masks on, but look at this little doll face. Can you get him, David, our brother? Look at that. Is he a doll? So cute. Thank you, Ryan. That is Rowan. Rowan Rice, R&R. Yeah, R&R. Don't you like that? Good to see Nioka. Good to see you here today. God bless you. Good to see Tammy and Hannah. Yeah, and Ralph and help me, Sarah. Carrie. I knew it, Carrie. Good to see you guys. And Nelva, God bless you. Good to see you. All right. Are you ready for this message? I can't wait to give it to you. Now listen, I'm going to give you two things, and I'm not going to keep you long. I don't think. I don't plan to, because here's the thing. I wanted David to talk to you this morning because he could probably say it a little clearer. I might make it as clear as mud. But I am so happy that we are coming in this building. A lot of people are doing it outside, and they still have room in the building, but we have chosen to come on the inside, and we're safe in here, okay? We got plenty of room. You guys are doing very well, and as long as you do well, and we all do well together, and take care of each other, then we can do this, okay? But when we start getting loose and not paying any attention, then we'll have to do something else. So I forgot where I was going with that. But anyway, I'm happy to be home and happy to be here. And this is just such a strange time, and it's something that no one really knows very much about. And so I know where I was going with that. I was going to say, since we're in here and we are doing very well and we're in our house together, I don't want to abuse access to the sanctuary. But now when God comes in, and he wants to take over, he is welcome. And if he comes in and manifests his glory, we'll stay until tomorrow. And there isn't anything anybody can say. Okay, nothing. So we just stay all day. But when I'm bringing the word, and I'm just going to get to the word, give you the two main points. You may be out of here in 15 minutes, and you may be out of here in an hour, and it may be a day. But I want you to be open, and let's just let the Holy Spirit speak. So I've cut some things off, but I want to give you two things. Sometimes less said is more powerful, and you can remember more. If I give you 10 points, I find out sometimes you didn't remember 5 of them or 20 of them. If I gave you 10, you forgot 8 of them. All right, so let's get to 2 points. And I want to thank God for this time, and I know this sounds like a cliche to you maybe, but it certainly isn't to me to say it, because nobody really knows what's going on, and we know that coronavirus is real, but we also know that the numbers have been padded maybe, and they're not taking the survivors off the list, and so we know that, but nevertheless, it still is real. So I just want to give glory today and give thanks to the Holy Spirit of God, who knows all things. See, maybe we don't, but the Holy Ghost knows everything, and we have him to talk to, and we can go into the secret place at any time. I want to thank God for his Spirit, and I want to thank him for this. Don't you thank him for his word? I mean, you could just open it up and just get a word out of it, and any time that you want to, any time, just go get it. You say, God, don't speak to me. Well, go get your Bible. Just open it. It's so awesome. And I thank God for prayer. I just thank him that we can talk to him and go into that secret place and shut the door, just him and me. And he will speak to you at some time. Maybe if you don't hear him then, and you may hear him right there speaking to your heart. But I guarantee you, when you speak to him, he speaks back. I also just want to give him a good old common thanks today for his name. I thank him that we've got his name to call on, the name of Jesus. That name is above every name that is named in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. I thank God for his name. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood to keep us out of darkness and out of sin. And he gave us his broken body to bring healing to us. And we just have so much available to us. We just have so much. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Jesus, for those things. Just the things that sometimes we forget to thank him for. All right. Well, let's go over to Zechariah, please. I'm going to stay right here in Zechariah. This is the first thing I wanted to show you. And actually, I gave this to you probably back in March, just maybe after we had closed the church doors for the first time. And we went here, but we've got to go here again, because I'll tell you, these words, they just grow and they grow. And I'm thinking, Lord, maybe what I brought was a little premature, but then when I get into this word, I find out, no, it wasn't premature. This one's right on time. And he's going to pull something out of this today that will just fit this earth and where we are right now. So here's what I heard him saying to me, just like he did 2,500 years ago to a man called Zerubbabel, who was building the temple of God. All right, let's look at, did I say Zechariah chapter 4? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So let's read, I think I'll read down through verse 10, Anise. Verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Somebody ought to put an amen right there. And then he says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? Who's done that? You started out with a little bit. You young people just getting married or just got married, just starting your family. You just got a little, but don't despise the days of small beginnings. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And the end of verse 10 says, they are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, this is what I wanted you to see. Now, if we went back a little bit, back to Habakkuk and begin to get the foundation on this, you would see where Zerubbabel was called of God to rebuild the temple, and they were doing so well. They had it building, they had it going good, and then they had a big old problem come from the outside. The king died, another king took over, and the people started saying, they don't have the right paperwork. They don't have the right paperwork. They cannot build this. This is illegal. They can't do this. And when I began to think on that, I thought, you know what? That's just like our governors today. Yeah. Just like them. No, that's not legal. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do what? You can't go to church. You can't do what? You can't sing. We've been in here a long time building the temple of God. And you know what? Those guys hindered the work of God for 10 years. 10. And the work stopped. Kind of like the work of the church has, you know, you can never stop the work of the church. The body of Christ will go on. But the devil would really love to close the doors of the church because he knows when sheep go apart, sheep will stray. Sheep will get their heads over into another fence and see the grass is a little greener over there and the pasture might be a little better and pretty soon, Meanwhile, oh, you could just go everywhere with this. But for 10 years, they stopped. And I don't want to stop anything in the name of the Lord. You don't want to stop it either. And so when I heard this word, he said, Zerubbabel started this work, and Zerubbabel will finish it. Now, when God says you started something, he will finish it if you stay with him. Even in your home, in your house, in the church, whatever you have in your garden that God has given to you. So when God steps in and looks at the enemy and says, enough is enough, how many know that's enough? That's all there's going to be. There's going to be a bloodline drawn. And when God said, that's it, that's it. You're not messing with my people anymore. And folks, I'm telling you, we are coming into a place with some things that the church has never seen. Do you know, I was thinking, we have not yet seen that wood become copper and the copper become steel and the steel become silver and the silver become gold. Oh, we've been talking about the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just, but we've not seen it yet. But I tell you, during this time, while God is dealing with the wicked, it's judgment on the wicked. We haven't seen that either. In fact, David said, man, I was looking at those rascals and seeing the wicked, and they were living like the devil, and everything they touched turned to gold. Everything worked for them. And he said, I was about ready, and this is what the New Living the Living Bible says. Years ago, I learned this in the plain old Living Bible, not the New Living Translation. Just the Living Bible. He said, I was looking at those fat cats, and I was about ready to fall off the cliff until I went into the sanctuary. And when I went into the sanctuary, I saw their end. And I'm telling you, church, there's a hurricane called Isaias that's coming on the East Coast. And when you look at the writings of Isaiah, it's the same word, Isaiah, Isaias, and Isaiah. When you see that, I put a little post down on Facebook the other day. It said the wicked are like the troubled sea. The dirt comes all up out of the bottom. Isaiah prophesied that they would be overtaken with water. But then he prophesied to us that though we would walk through deep water, we would not drown. And when we walk through the fire, we would not be burned. And I'll tell you, I believe that we are in that day that Isaiah talked about, and it's not a coincidence that they named Isaiah the hurricane Isaias out there. It's just a sign of the judgment upon the world. But the church is about to see all of those things that we prayed for over the years, the things that the pastors and the prophets and the evangelists and you have declared with your mouth and have not yet seen. We're about to see it. And I'll show you how we are going to see it. But you're going to have to cooperate with God, and you're going to have to cooperate with me and this simple little word that I'm putting into your heart right now. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you for this, Jesus. All right, look at it. Verse 6. Now this word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. Of course, it's not by might and it's not by power. You can't reason this thing out. You can't try to figure it out. I know you sit at home with your bills and your money, and you look at the check and you look at the money and you look at this and you look at that and you look at the marriage and you look at the job and you look at the stuff and I just can't figure it out. God said, that's the way I wanted it. Because it is not by might. It's not by power. None of your power. It's not about your power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And when it speaks about the host, it's talking about all the host of the angels of heaven. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts of all the angels in heaven. And he said, so it's all about my spirit. And then all of a sudden, Zerubbabel gets this authority that rises up in him. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a new, fresh authority rising up in the people of God. Do you feel that? Do you feel it? And so Zerubbabel's like, okay, these devils, these two-legged fleshly devils, have come against us for 10 years and shut us down. We haven't been able to do anything. And all of a sudden, when God says, Zerubbabel started this, and he will finish it. And when he said, Zerubbabel, it isn't by your might and your power anyway, but it's by my spirit. Then old Zerubbabel gets this, and he looks at that mountain, and look at what he says. He says, who are you? Who are you, O great mountain? Who are you? And then he doesn't even wait for the mountain to speak. He doesn't even let the mountain give a reply. He said, who are you, great mountain? I don't know if he's speaking in person to those guys. But he said, who are you? And then he addresses and he says, that's what's going to happen to you. I don't know who you are. But I'll tell you this, you shall become a plain. How many of you have ever been to Texas? You see all the plains out there? They don't have a lot of trees and mountains and little hills like we have. It's just plains, a lot of plains. And he said, Zerubbabel, you've been a big old mountain in my face. You've been a mountain for a long time, but I'm going to tell you something today. I'm asking you, who are you, O great mountain? Great means he was huge. This mountain was huge. It was a big hindrance. It had hindered for 10 years. And then he said, you shall become a plain. One translation says, you will be smoothed out. You will be a level plain. Can I tell you today, folks, here's what I hear in my spirit. That great big mountain standing in your face, don't you let that mountain say one more word to you. You say, you shall become a smoothed out plain. You're going to be as smooth as the plains of Texas. You have barked and you have built up and you've made yourself so tough, but you are nothing. You're coming down and you will be a plain, saith the Lord. So they started building and got it going again, and Zerubbabel was going to finish it here. And then he begins to speak again, and I want you to see what happens here. God gives him the strangest of orders, and I'm getting ready to give this to you. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone or the headstone. With shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, I know this is one of the oldest messages ever preached. But these old messages are worth repeating. And I'll tell you, these old things get in your heart and they just come up. And when they come up again, they just come up with life in them. Because that's the word of the Lord. It is spirit. It's alive and it's spirit. And after he said, you'll become a plain, God said, Zerubbabel, by the prophet, he said, I want you to go get that capstone. Get that headstone. Now, in Israel, I don't know too much about building, but I know enough about this so Roman and some of you builders could tell me. They would take this headstone, and it would be the very last stone put in the building. The very last stone. But God said, I want you to get it right now. And I want you to pick that stone up. And I want you to speak to it, Zerubbabel. And when you get it in your hands, or you maybe it was too big to pick up, maybe you had to lay it down, I don't know. But he said, but when you get it, I want you to shout. Shout something at that stone. I want you to shout, grace, grace. Hallelujah. Now, if Zerubbabel had been like us, he may have looked around and make sure nobody was looking. And said, hey, stone, I'm talking to you, grace. I mean, who talks to rocks? See, God will have you do some funny things sometimes. Didn't sound like anything. Didn't matter to a hill of beans. But he said, shout to that stone. And all of a sudden, that authority came up in him again. When he spoke to the mountain, And he said to the mountain, "Oh, who are you, O great mountain? You're going to come down like a level plain, like a smooth plain." And now he looks at that stone and he picked the stone up and he shouted, "Grace! Grace!" And with that, the work of the Lord went forward and it went on. And he began to shout to that. And the Bible said the foundation was laid and his hands finished it. So he said, "Do not despise the days of small beginnings." I know everything may not be working out the way you want it right now, but don't despise these little days right now. Just don't do that. Listen, you need to pick that checkbook up out of your purse and you need to hold that thing up and you need to shout, "Grace, grace!"
Hallelujah.
I drove by here yesterday and I pointed my hand at this church. I already told you the land's paid off. We've still got a payment. And I said, "Grace, grace!
Hallelujah.
Grace, grace!" To that church paid in full. You got a troubled marriage. You need to say, "Grace on my marriage. Grace."
Hallelujah.
You got something going on, that troubled child. Shout, "Grace, grace" to your child. To the grandchild messing up. To things that you don't know what's going to happen. Shout, "Grace" to that sickness. Shout, "Grace" to the disease, to the sickness, to lack. Grace. Grace. Can you remember that church? Can you remember that right now? I want you to picture something in your mind that needs grace, and I want you to shout it with me. Come on. You got it in your mind? One, two, three.
Grace!
Grace! Okay, I want you to do that. From now on, I pray that you will not remember this word. You say, "Well, grace is good, but where am I going to get the grace?" I'll tell you where you get it out of Hebrews 4:16. You all know Hebrews 4:16. Let us, where are you going to get it? Oh, the writer of Hebrews told us, "Oh, let us come boldly to the throne of what? Of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what?
Grace
to help us in time of need." So you go to the throne of grace and you get mercy and you get grace to help you in time of need. So you get grace from grace to shout grace to the mountain. Shout grace over your mother. Shout grace over your brother. Shout grace over your household. You need a new car? Drive past that car lot and go, "Grace, grace." Talking to a young lady Wednesday night about a house. Oh, I couldn't wait for her to be here this morning. She's not here, but you know who you are. She's always writing that on the back of her tithe envelope. "I'm believing God for my house. I'm believing God for my home." And you know what? I stopped at a model home the other day that I thought she could afford, pretty affordable. And I stopped there and I picked up these brochures. And I am going to bring it to her this morning and I'm going to tell her, "You get these and you look at them. It doesn't matter whether you can afford it or not right now, but I want you to go by there and I want you to shout, 'Grace, grace!'"
Yes, Lord.
Come on, church, we got to put our faith where our mouth is, where our heart is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The church people are looking for answers, but what we've gotten is a little pacifier and a little binky, little blankie to go with it. We don't need to just pacify each other. Faith has been replaced with faith in faith. No, it's faith in God. You got people who their faith is just a good confession. A good confession, that's good, but it's more than that. It's relationship with Jesus. And unless you have that relationship with him and you go right into the throne where he is, where the Father sits, and you go in there, then you can get this grace. I mean, a load of grace and mercy to help you in time of need. Hallelujah. So remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Number two, the second thing that I want you to know is this. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. You're going to say, "What?" No, just go over there. I brought a part of this too a few weeks ago, but now let's take it a bit farther. Now, if you don't know where Genesis is, I'm going to come back there. Don't make me come back there. All right. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Ooh, I love this. I thank God for the preaching of the word too, don't you? Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and what was on the face of the waters? What was it? Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And I love this next word, then. It's the same thing that he said to Zerubbabel. The enemy had risen up for 10 years. It says, then God said. So darkness was on the face of the deep, and it was void, and it was without form. The earth was a mess. Then, verse 3, God said, say those four words, let there be light. It was God's first recorded words that came out of his lips. So those words must be very, very important. If he recorded those, and those were the first words that God said, I would endeavor to say the pretty important. And those are the words that I want to give you today, because in verse 4 it says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God, look, God divided the light and the darkness. He divided the light and the darkness. How many need some light and darkness divided? Okay, we are told not to walk in darkness. We've got absolutely no reason to walk in darkness as children of God. He said, don't walk in darkness and say you fellowship with me, because you don't. Now, if we go over to John chapter 1, I find it pretty amazing. Let me see if I... Yeah, John 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning. Here it is again. Remember Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning. John 1, 1, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and by him nothing was made that was made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life of the light of men. Here's what I want you to hear. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. See, darkness cannot handle the light. It just can't handle it. Now, if this room was dark and you flip these lights on, like Randy probably did this morning, the darkness just has to leave. And so I'm going to say this. Wherever there's any darkness in your mind, in your spirit, in your home, in your pocketbook, in the school, any place where you see there's any kind of darkness, we've got to go back to this. And remember, the second thing I really felt like I heard God say was, turn these four little words, let there be light, turn these four words into a prayer. And all week long, I'm telling you, church, I believe these two things will change our lives, if you'll remember them. To shout, grace, grace, to whatever it is that's troubling you. And if you say, let there be light, where there's darkness. Have you noticed how there seems to be, well, we know that there's confusion in the world. There's confusion. Every time you turn on the news report, there's confusion. I mean, people are saying, those aren't rioters. Or they are rioters. Others are saying they're not rioters. They're, you know, they're fighting. They're burning things down. No, they're just rioting. They have a right to do that. Well, it's just confusion all the time. But have you noticed how confusion's trying to come against you? Against your mind? Against the church, maybe even against your marriage. I don't know. I'm not married right now, so I don't know. But I would just say there's confusion that tries to rise up between families, between siblings. You hear of people that have two or three children, and the children are fighting, and they weren't doing that before, but there's confusion. And it's just kind of crazy. So I want to say, whenever you see that confusion, you just say what God said. Because if those first four words that God said were that important to him, they must be really important. Then we'd better say, let there be light. And what's going to happen? When you say, let there be light, the darkness is going to, the darkness can't comprehend it. The darkness just can't understand it. So there you go. I think I'm just going to leave you that. And God has just said, turn it into a prayer. Let it be a command. Like I commanded when God said, let there be light, there was. When Zerubbabel said, grace, grace, he finished the whole church. Is something unfinished in your life? If it's unfinished, it's halfway there. You thought you were going forward. You went about five steps forward and down. You had to go about three steps back or 10 steps back. You're like, what is that? Well, you need to start shouting grace. I'm just telling you. You better start shouting grace. You say, how in the world did I get in this place? Maybe sin has tried to take you over. Sin cannot take you over as you get right back into the throne room of God. Amen. You get right back over there with him, and you talk to this darkened earth, and talk to the any place of darkness that you have in you, and let God do the same thing on earth that he did right there. So let's just believe we receive. And when we believe, we overcome. How do you flip the light on? What were the first four words of God? Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. So what are we going to say? Two things. Number one, to the mountain, you're going to say, grace, grace. Number two, when there's darkness, you're going to say, let there be light. Same thing God said. God told Zerubbabel to say, grace, grace. To a rock. So why not say it to a house? Why not say it to a car? Your car's messing up? Shout grace to that engine. Shout grace when you don't have enough money to buy the new tires for the car. You shout grace, grace. And you watch it come out of nowhere. Stand on your feet with me today. Thank you, Jesus. Think you can remember those two things? All right. Practice them. Remember them. I might give you a test Wednesday night. Ah, hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus, we're so thankful. Oh, I'm thankful for your love, Lord, your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your word and your blood and your name, your prayer, our prayer, Lord. I just want to thank you for your love. I thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us. Oh, God, we pray for every man and woman in this room today. Is there anyone here that say, Pastor, I'd just love to walk on in that throne room and give my heart to Jesus today. I've been putting it off, but I'm through. Enough is enough. I'm going to give my heart to him today. Hallelujah. Maybe you at home today, you say, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. Can I remind you that Jesus is coming really soon? He's coming sooner than we think. And we're in the last hours of the last days. And what a time to rejoice. We used to sing, we shall see the King, we shall see the King. But we're so much closer to seeing him now. So make your heart ready. Oh, in the book of Revelation, he said, oh, may the bride make herself ready. What's all of this? What is all this commotion about? It's about the bride making herself ready. And the harvest coming in, as many as are lost, that you and I might get them in. So in the name of Jesus, would you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, I'm lost. Please come and save me. I give my heart to you. I want to come into your throne room. Right now, the throne of grace, to get my mercy. To get my grace, to find grace. He said, find grace. Church, say, find grace to help me in time of need. I receive your grace, Lord. I receive your mercy. And I receive that light, which is the light of men. I give my heart to you. Come live with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us sing a song before we go. Come on, I want to hear that. Yes.
Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Take me to that place.
Take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
I want you, Carrie, will you raise your hand back there? You see Carrie right there? Carrie and her husband just came back from Arkansas. And she has been diagnosed now that she has 4-stage cancer. We prayed for her a couple of weeks ago, but Carrie, I feel like right now we need to shout grace to you. I want you to all turn toward her and point your hands toward her. No one touching her but her husband. And I want you to shout at the count of three and believe, okay? Don't just say it, but believe. See, this is a mountain. This is a big old mountain. And Carrie, you said, who are you, old mountain? He says, oh, I'm cancer. But God says, oh, no, I'm God. And, oh, you shall be made a plain, a smooth plain, oh, great mountain. In the name of Jesus, church, are you ready? Come on, believe with me. 1, 2, 3.
Grace! Grace!
That's tried to take her mind with fear. I want you to say, let there be light. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. Woo! Hallelujah.
Take us to that place, Lord. To that secret place where I can be with you. Oh, you can make me like you. Wrap me
out in the middle of the floor right there, and I want everybody to point your hands toward her. She's got 2 big lumps in her neck. Doctor says he doesn't know what that is. He says one thing and then he says another. Would somebody shout grace, grace to her and believe it? We can have major healings right now this morning, God has said. 1, 2, 3. I want you to say, let there be light. 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. Carmen, in Jesus' name, receive. Receive. Maria, is that your mother, honey? You doing okay, Mama? Her husband just went to be with the Lord again with cancer. But, Mama, we send grace, grace to you. And may the peace of God keep you. And the light of Jesus, come on, shout. Let there be light. shout grace, grace.
Grace, grace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
One more time, take us to that place, Lord.
Take me to that place, Lord. To that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you.
Us to point toward Pastor Lindell now. He's had a successful surgery, but let's pray that it just carries right on out, totally pure and made whole. Would you shout with me? Grace, grace, at the count of three. Children, children, I want you all. Karina, get your little girl and teach her to shout grace. My babies, I want you all to shout grace to Pastor Lindell. Maria, teach your baby to shout grace. I want to teach them. When they have a need, tell them, baby, you shout grace, grace, all right? Come on. Kathy, teach your grandson to shout grace. Pastor Lindell, can you believe that he's totally whole? One, two, three.
Grace! Grace!
Come on. You know what happens to a wife? You know what happens to a couple when they say that C word just like happening to you? Fear tries to set up. They haven't said that. But I want you to shout while we got to have the darkness go off and the light flip on. Because, see, the dark can't comprehend light. Say those first four words of Jesus with us. One, two, three.
Let there be light.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let there be light, Debbie. Come on, say grace, grace to Debbie. Grace, grace. Say, let there be light to Debbie. Let there be light in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. All right, what's the first thing we're going to remember this week?
Grace.
And the second? All right, keep it in your heart. Keep it in your spirit. Live on it. Live in it. Go to bed in it. Get up in it. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and may he turn his face towards you and give you peace in your home, in your heart, in your mind, in your money. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you guys so much. I'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30.